Hello and welcome to another Spring Football Spodcast at KUSports.com. I'm Matt Tate and I'm joined by Tom Keegan. We're going to ask Tom to say hello again. And we're going to ask Tom, he just did right there in case you missed it. I don't want you to miss it. We're also going to ask him to do just like we did with the offensive line. What is the first thing that comes to your mind when you think wide receivers at Kansas in April 2014?
Nick Harwell.
Yours and everyone else's.
Yeah, best wide receiver Kansas has had since the Meyer and Briscoe tandem. The guy, when you hear the term crisp route, well, you can sort of vaguely picture it. When you watch him, the words jump out. Crisp route runner.
Yeah.
Sharp cuts. Relentless. You could put a bottle of water, a bottle of wine on his top of his helmet while he's running, and it wouldn't spill. He's such an efficient runner. Amazingly smooth runner. And he's got a good, thick muscularity to him.
Yeah.
And he's got great hands. This is a super, super football player that Kansas was lucky that he had some behavior issues and was suspended by Miami and then bolted. And look, if anyone's thinking that the competition in the MAC isn't indicative of what someone can do in the Big 12, keep in mind he played against two Big 10 teams, one of them being Ohio State, and played great in both of those. You watch him, you're going to love this guy.
Yeah, there's no question. And he talked, we interviewed him recently, he talked about his route running, and the way he said it made me think, wow, this guy kind of prides himself on that. This is his thing. This is where he hangs his hat. So I asked him, I said, is that your biggest strength? Is that running routes, being a precise route runner, is that you? And he said, well, yeah, but my best strength are my hands. And, you know, that talk about, you could see it when he said it, talk yeah. about a guy that is proud of being able to catch the football.
Yeah.
And talk about a place that needs a guy to be proud of catching the football.
Right.
You know, so it's a perfect marriage. It's a perfect match. Not only because of the production that Harwell should bring and figures to bring, but also because his presence not only gives them a clear-cut number one, not only gives them a guy that has produced and can be counted on to produce, but also has elevated everyone else's game just so slightly. So Rodriguez Coleman has learned from Nick Harwell and has tried to follow in his footsteps and has tried to be as competitive as he can.
He looked great in 7-on-7.
Coleman did? He was the one that stood out to me, for sure.
The way he moves, we saw some of it last year. We knew he was fast and was the rare KU receiver who could get behind the defense.
Right.
But now the way he moves so smoothly, more precisely, he's running better routes, over-the-shoulder catches.
Hands look good. I mean,
yeah. And this is a guy who's 6'3", a legitimate 6'3". His body's going to fill out, but it's fine now. And he's got that. He carries himself with the confidence of an NFL receiver. He really does. He just fits the whole mold. I wouldn't be surprised to see both of these guys in the NFL someday.
Yeah.
Nick Harwell next year and Rodriguez Coleman down the line.
Yeah. Let me tell you what stood out about Coleman to me. Didn't matter which quarterback was rotating in during 7-on-7. He got the most targets, which tells you they like throwing to this guy.
Yeah.
Whether that's because he gets open, whether that's because he is where he's supposed to be, whether because it's the big frame or not, I don't know what it is exactly. We'll have to find that out. But it didn't matter who was in there. They threw it Coleman's way, and it was cool to see that because he has big-time potential too. There's no question about
it. Big time. And teams are going to be rightly paying extra attention to Nick Harwell. You can't pay extra attention to everybody.
Right.
And Rodriguez Coleman is going to benefit from that. And as he benefits, his confidence is going to continue to grow and grow. And speaking of confidence, Tony Pearson isn't as confident as a receiver as these two guys are, but it's his last go-around, the senior urgency.
Right.
And you can tell by the way he's carrying himself, he loves being coached up by Eric Kiesau.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, he's, you know, hard to say until game one gets here if he's fully recovered from all of his head injuries and just the mental blow that is in addition to the physical side of it. But he certainly seems better. He seems like he's back and he seems like you know, he's ready to go out with a bang. And you're right. If you put Harwell and Pearson on one side, And Coach Weiss talked about this a little bit when he was doing some X's and O's talking during one of the press conferences this spring. If you put those guys over there, maybe Mundine on that side too at tight end, you're going to have one-on-one coverage with Coleman on the backside. And if he can get open, he'll get a lot of balls. And if he can catch those balls, that's a lot of production. So I think this group has talent. I think they've upgraded at coaching as well. But also I think that there's so many fun things you can do with these guys because you have to respect all of them. And you have to wonder, decoys, you know, this kind of thing.
And nobody wants to hear this because he's been a hype player in the past and disappointed. But very quietly you're hearing that Justin McKay is having a strong spring. He's closing his spring in a hurry. They like the way he's catching the ball and reacting to the ball. And, you know, good guy, real good guy. Things haven't gone well for him as a college football player. Wouldn't it be nice to see a success story like that for him to be in the mix, whether he's the fourth receiver or what it is? You need six receivers, basically.
Right. You're playing a lot, especially Andrew, no huddle.
Yeah, Andrew Truzzilli will be backing up Nick Harwell in the slot. And then you see McKay right now is listed as the backup to Rodriguez Coleman. You're going to see, I hope, the best season of Justin McKay's football career by far.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't had a good one yet.
One of the things that I was told this spring that kind of speaks to why he's playing better is because whether it was Eric Kesaw or partly Kesaw and partly McKay or Coach Weiss or whoever it was, someone got through to Justin and said, you don't have to be the same player as the guy you're behind. So Rodriguez Coleman can do X, Y, and Z, and he's this kind of guy and he's that kind of guy. Well, you're not.
Yeah.
You're a different player. You're a different specimen. You're a bigger, more physical guy. Do what you do and do it well. And I think a guy who's that big, that physical, and likes to hit, there's always a place in an offense for a receiver who will play like that.
Right.
And I would think between John Regan as the offensive coordinator and a new offense and Eric Kesaw, who seems to really value that like all the good wide receiver coaches do, blocking those types of things.
Yeah, remember the first or second game of the year, I think it was the first game of the year, he really just plowed a guy over and he got an unjust flag. And then I wondered after that.
Sure.
If he was a little bit gun-shy, because he is a physical punishing blocker, and that there was nothing illegal about that block. I mean, I'm no ref, but I watched the replay.
Right, and I agree with
you. Come on, man. You got to let him play physically, and he did, and he got penalized for it, and I almost wondered after that if that made him gun-shy.
Yeah, he had a lot of special teams moments, too, where he just rocked guys. And you know, former linebacker. I mean, the guy likes to hit. This
yeah,
is
he does.
Nothing new. He's talked about it, and he shows it too. So
I think he'd be a good boxer.
Do you?
A long reach. I can see him throwing, flicking left jabs.
He's got a little Muhammad Ali flair to him too, with the personality.
Yeah,
you know, that's quite a compliment. I probably went too far with that, but
well, I've done that too. Whenever you really want to hype a guy, just throw the name Muhammad Ali in there.
Oh, that's good stuff. Well, Terzilli is one more guy that you brought up already. You know, 6'3 and a half, 194 pounds, a senior. One of those guys that sort of like McKay, where you've been waiting for it to, is this going to be the year? Is this going to be the year? He's gotten plenty of chances.
Got to stop dropping the ball.
Yeah.
He's good at getting open deep.
And
but
it sounds
he's
got to
catch it.
It sounds like he's had a good spring, too. I mean,
well, I think they've all had a revelation. They've been taught how to catch the ball.
Sure.
Hand placement. Break free at the line with physical, using their hands violently, as
mm-hmm.
Chris Martin would have said, did say many times. Using some of the same moves that DNs use. They're using the rips and swims.
Yeah.
And they're just learning a lot of things, and they're so into learning it. And the hand placement, you would think they would have learned in high school, but you never know. You would have thought they'd learn it here at Kansas, but apparently that wasn't drilled. And they're having fun, and they really efficient practice the other day where with all the quarterbacks throwing balls, those receivers were run to death.
Yeah.
I mean, they did a lot of running in a short period of time. They all looked like they were in really good shape.
One more thing that's good for the wide receivers and their development, the defensive backs that they're playing against at times
are good.
The one-on-ones, the 7-on-7 stuff, when you're talking about being covered by Kevin Short, Dexter McDonald, Ja'Cory Shepherd, Isaiah Johnson, Cassius Sendish. I mean, those guys are going to push
Fish you. Smithson.
Yeah, they're going to push you in there.
Ronnie Davis.
They're cocky and confident, and they don't want to give up an inch, not even to guys on their own team. And the receivers now have to elevate their game to go with that.
That's a great point. It's a lot like the big men in basketball are always going against good big men in Kansas, and that helps them. And that's a great point because, let's face it, that secondary, if the offensive line is the worst unit or the shakiest unit, I think the secondary is the best unit.
Yeah, I think that's something that's important, and I think that it means that any success that these guys have in spring or one-on-ones or whatever – means something. It's not any longer, well, I did it against, you know, so-and-so, or, yeah, but, you know, this guy doesn't play for Texas, or whatever. These guys are Big 12 D-backs, and so if you go have some success against them, that'll elevate your confidence, too. So it's a fun group. It's an exciting group. I'm with you. I think there's a lot of feel-good stuff in there. I hope McKay has a good year for his sake. I hope Tony Pearson stays healthy and can actually wow us for 12 games instead of just parts of a season, because you know, if not being able to see Joel Embiid play anymore is a shame, not being able to see Tony Pearson play anymore would be just as big a shame, because
seeing him only touch the ball five times against Rice last year was a shame.
Hopefully he's much more involved and healthy and all these guys. So interesting group, definitely improved. There's no question in your mind, right?
Oh, no question. They're getting much better instruction. Tony Pearson has an extra year of being a wide receiver. He's still not there, but at times you can see that Kesaw has made strides with him on running routes. And obviously Harwell is almost like a second coach, the way he's so verbal with guys and so eager to teach them, and they're so easier to listen. And Rodriguez Coleman's the one who can make a huge, huge step, and we saw a lot of talent last year. This year, we're going to see a lot of production.
Yeah, Nick Harwell also demanding. I mean, he expects these guys to work as hard as he does and to execute as well as he does. And they love it. They needed it. They love it. The coaches love it.
I mean, most improved unit on the team. I'll be shocked if it's not the most improved. But we're talking about the worst receiving unit in college football the past 2 years.
Sure.
So maybe they're not deep now, but I'd be shocked if they're not the most improved unit. And they've got good high-end talent. There's top-heavy with talent.
Yeah, definitely. It'll be interesting, no question about it. And we'll revisit it again at some point in the summer when we kind of reevaluate where they're at once we've heard some things about the off-season and the season draws a little closer. But for now, that's all the time we've got. Be sure to check out the rest of these. We're going position by position, just sort of the spring State of the Union. So they'll be up in the next couple of weeks, a bunch of them floating around. So make sure to keep an eye out, and we'll be back to talk to you guys soon. Thanks for checking out this podcast. We'll talk to you later.